It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. May is Older Americans Month, and Pennsylvania has the fourth highest percentage of citizens age 60 or older in the country. Unfortunately, reports of elder abuse are on the rise nationwide. The Philadelphia suburb of Chester County reported nearly 800 cases last year. Joining us to look at how the Commonwealth is dealing with this issue is Pennsylvania Director of Protective Services, Denise Getchen, and Kirsten Snow, Director of Communications for the Pennsylvania Department of Aging. Welcome to both of you. Thanks for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having us.
Reports of elder abuse are on the rise nationally. Are more cases of abuse being reported in Pennsylvania? And if so, why?
Pennsylvania is following the rest of the nation in terms of increasing numbers of elder abuse reports being received. We've seen a steady increase in the number of reports received and substantiated annually. During fiscal year 14-15, there were over 24,000 reports of elder abuse reported to local area agencies on aging. That's approximately a 10% increase from last fiscal year. Why are they increasing? There may be a lot of reasons why the reports are increasing. I think that there's more of a public awareness. I think we're doing more outreach and education than we've ever done to the public. I think that families are very much involved with older adults, and so they're reporting more things that are being seen both in the community and in facility settings. The number one reported and substantiated abuse in Pennsylvania is neglect, and it's made up of both self-neglect and caregiver neglect. And then that's followed very closely by financial exploitation of the elderly. So those are the top three types of abuse we're seeing.
So let me let Kirsten answer that as well.
I would say that probably per capita, Pennsylvania would have more than other states simply because we have the fourth largest population of folks over 60 in the country. So you could make the correlation that that would require or would show that we would have some more reports than other states, perhaps.
Why are we seeing that? What's going on with, is there, you know, one of the things that Denise said was that there's more of a acknowledgement of the abuses that are going on that might have been overlooked years ago. How do you see it?
I agree that there's definitely more of an awareness of elder abuse and ways to report it. The Pennsylvania Department of Aging has taken a much more aggressive stance over the last few years to make sure that people understand that there is a confidential 24-hour elder abuse hotline they can call to report it. So I think with people having the knowledge that they can report themselves if they are experiencing abuse or someone else can report for them. Another thing I think that helps is that some of the stigma, I think, is starting to fade for folks that are victims of elder abuse, and they're starting to stand up for themselves a bit more.
So in the past, people might have been embarrassed about reporting it?
I think that that could be a conclusion that we could draw, certainly.
What forms does this abuse take? I mean, what kinds of abuse are we talking about here?
Well, there are several different kinds. One of which was mentioned is certainly self-neglect, whether it's the person not being able to care for themselves or a caregiver who is supposed to be caring for them and simply is not providing the proper care that's needed. We're also seeing a much greater increase in financial exploitation. And unfortunately, most of the cases of financial exploitation are perpetrated by family members, which is very sad. And often older adults don't want to report a family member as the person who is the perpetrator of the crime. And then there are also other ways. There is physical abuse, and there is certainly sexual abuse among the elderly population. So those are the most common kinds that we see.
Denise Getchen, how are cases of abuse investigated? Who is knocking on doors or making phone calls to find out what's going on when a case of abuse is reported?
The Department of Aging works very closely with our local partners, the area agencies on aging. So in every county, there's an area agency on aging, and in that agency is a protective service unit. They're the unit that's responsible to take the intake. So they take the original call, the allegation. They also are responsible to respond to that call. And then if they substantiate a case where the older adult is in need of protective service, they're also responsible then to put in services to either decrease, eliminate, or mitigate the risk to the older adult.
Chester County outside of Philadelphia saw nearly 800 cases reported last year. Do you have statistics for Allegheny County?
We absolutely do. We keep statistics for every county. In fiscal year 14-15, Allegheny County received 2,245 reports. So reports is an allegation of elder abuse. The county was second only to Philadelphia.
Anything about those numbers that surprised you?
Is it surprising? No. Allegheny County does a great job of doing outreach. They have a pretty significant amount of facilities in their area. They have a huge area in terms of just geography. So they do a great job in terms of outreach and working with local partners. So they do have a lot of reporting.
Pennsylvania ranks fourth in the nation when it comes to citizens age 60 and over. How is the Pennsylvania Department of Aging addressing this issue?
There's a lot of things we're doing to address elder abuse. For instance, one thing which is a great opportunity for Pennsylvania is we're bringing the National Adult Protective Service Conference to Pennsylvania this year. So that'll be in August, late August, in Philadelphia. And so what that conference is, brings national experts to Pennsylvania to network and share best practices and the work that's being done to address elder abuse across the country. We also have a lot of work being done, collaborations with other state agencies and law enforcement. So we're working very closely with banking and securities, the Attorney General's Office, Health, Department of Human Services, PCCD, all around the issue of elder abuse. So there's a lot of collaboration at the state agency level. In addition, we're doing a lot of training to the public, to EMS providers, to professionals, advocacy organizations, and anyone we feel routinely works with or serves older adults. So we're really trying to get information out about what is elder abuse and how to report. We are expanding our training for protective service investigators. We're finding that not only are we seeing more cases, but cases are increasingly complex, and so our investigators need more and more training. And so we're thankfully able to expand that training available to them. We also, in Pennsylvania, we're lucky to have now a APS program for adults who are 18 to 59 years old and live with disabilities. And so we've been able to offer protections to them as well.
And Kirsten Snow, as I mentioned to Denise Getchen, how is the Pennsylvania Department of Aging addressing this issue?
One of the most important things that we use as a roadmap, if you will, for the Department of Aging is every 4 years we're required by the Administration for Community Living, which is a federal organization under the Department of Health and Human Services, to do a state plan. And we're currently in the process of doing our state plan on aging for 2016 through the year 2020. So what we've been able to do over the past couple months is we've gone out into the community to seven different locations, and we've held community listening forums, and we've had people that we serve, people who are our stakeholders, people who are partners in the community. Certainly, senior citizens in the community have come out and they've shared with us what they think we're doing well and what they think we could be doing better. So we've taken that information from the community listening forums and we've created a draft state plan, which is available on our website. It's aging.pa.gov. People can have a chance to go on that website. They can click on the plan. They can read the draft plan. And beginning tomorrow, we have three public hearings scheduled. The first one actually is in Allegheny County tomorrow from 10 until noon. And that's where we encourage people to bring their verbal and their written testimony if they have anything they'd like to share with us about the draft plan, things they like, things they wish would get more attention, things that they would like to see added that aren't in there. So overall, the state plan does guide us in our mission, and we look forward to addressing the very specific concerns that the public has brought to our attention.
And so what do you hope will come out of these hearings?
What we hope will come out of the hearings is for us to hear firsthand from the people that we serve and our partners what it is that we do well as the areas where we need to perhaps allocate more funding, areas where maybe we need more training. We know for sure that we need to increase awareness of the services that we do provide. One thing that we found in our community listening forums is that there were many folks who really didn't understand that the Pennsylvania Department of Aging provides all sorts of services, congregate meals, as well as insurance counseling, as well as the PACE program, and even health education programs, even help with legal issues. So there are a lot of things that the Pennsylvania Department of Aging does, and we desperately need to increase awareness about that.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and I'm talking with the director of Pennsylvania's Protective Services, Denise Getchen, and also Kirsten Snow, who you just heard there. She's director of communications for the Pennsylvania Department of Aging. The last thing I wanted to touch on with each of you is what is important for people to know when it comes to simply protecting themselves, whether you're talking about someone who is over 60 and needs to be aware of what kind of scams or what kinds of things are going on that allow people to take advantage of them, or for family members, if they are the ones who are the legal guardian of an older individual, what should they be aware of? What are ways in which they can do a better job of protecting the people that they care about and love?
Well, let me start with the second part of your question first, Paul, which was what should family members who perhaps are caregivers or guardians look for when reporting and perhaps noticing elder abuse cases? I would suggest that any older person who is in any sort of facility, or even if they're not in a facility, but they have a caregiver coming into the home to provide services, that the family be as involved as possible. Keep your eyes open. Make sure there aren't piles of unopened mail, or you're starting to see notices of bills that aren't being paid. For instance, when you are with a family member who might be going into a nursing home or an assisted living facility, make sure that you go with them to that facility. You check out that facility. You ask questions. You talk to some of the residents there. See how they feel about it. And visit often. If you notice anything that seems remiss, certainly bring it to the attention of someone on the staff, or if you feel that you can't do that, I encourage people to call our elder abuse hotline. It's 1-800-490-8505. And for individuals themselves who are looking to protect themselves, one of the most popular scams that we see, particularly around tax time and even holiday time, are people who will prey via the phone on the elderly. So they will send even an email as well, or they'll call an elderly person. They'll pretend to be somebody else who they'll say, perhaps this elderly individual owes back taxes. And if that person doesn't pay those taxes within 24 hours, they're going to receive a fine or they'll be jailed, at which point they begin to ask the elderly person for personal information, social security number, their bank routing numbers. And we want people to understand that the IRS will never call a senior citizen and ask for that information over the phone, nor will they ever email you for that information. So if something sounds like a scam, 99% of the time it is, and we simply tell people, hang up the phone. It's the best thing you could possibly do.
All right, and let's let Denise Getchen have one final word here on that.
I think there's a couple things. For an older adult, I would say to remain in contact. Don't get isolated. Remain in contact with your friends, with your community. In terms of what to look for, I would say family members and loved ones should be looking for things like isolation, where someone has come into an older adult's life and is now isolating them from long-term friends or family or neighbors. That's of concern. Any unexplained injuries, bruises, fractures, any unexplained expenditures. So we see often that there are unexplained expenditures because, as Kirsten said earlier, they're being coerced or threatened to send money overseas. The other thing is to watch and be involved in your older, you know, your older parent or your older grandparent, loved one, friend, family, whoever it is, and to be looking at changes in patterns. So if someone always enjoyed going out for meals and now they're telling you they can no longer afford that, that's of concern. If they've had changes in banking patterns where now they're using a bank card and they never did that before, those kinds of changes are red flags and should be looked into. And again, if they call the 1-800 line, they will get someone live 24/7, 365 days a year. And so they can be anonymous, and you don't have to prove anything. You just have to have a concern about an older adult.
And again, that number for people to call?
1-800-490-8505.
We've been talking with Denise Getchen. She is the Pennsylvania Director of Protective Services, and also Kirsten Snow, Director of Communications for the Pennsylvania Department of Aging. May is Older Americans Month, and they are trying to help prevent elder abuse, which is on the rise nationwide and in Pennsylvania. Thanks to both of you for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us.
Coming up, we'll look at the Big Idea Sessions happening in Pittsburgh this weekend. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.